welcome to another episode of Be The Vibe Radio with your favorite hostess out here in these podcast streets, Crystal Sun. And I don't know if y'all could tell, I'm feeling myself today. I'll probably actually knock out quite a few episodes in this one sit because I got a lot of things to say. I've actually been having a lot of ideas in regards to content, like media content. So in addition to just things I want to talk about on this platform, things I want to write about on my blog, on my website, videos I want to do, just, you know, stuff I want to post on Instagram. So I'm in a media creative mood right now. So yes, I'm definitely feeling myself. Yes. So with that being said, this particular episode is one that I haven't done in a while, which is an unpopular opinion. I have not gone on and done an unpopular opinion in quite a bit of time. It's been a while since I've talked my shit, and I'm so ready for it because Mars is in retrograde. I've been feeling extra feisty, extra rowdy, and I just want to talk on some shit. So this episode of Unpopular Opinion is dun-dun-dun. Priesthood is not glamorous. Yeah, so, you know, I definitely want to talk about this because it needs to be talked about. Everything that I talk about, I feel like it needs to be talked about. But this topic particularly because, okay, so let me just break it down for y'all. For those of you who know me, you've been listening for a while, you know that I am a Aberisha in the Lukumi tradition. So I am a Orisha devotee, and I am, a practitioner of Orisha worship. I am also initiated in some other African traditional religions. So I have a background in quite a few different African traditions as far as just observation and just in general, that's the first thing. But overall, you know, there's a trend of, you know, ATR is becoming a trend. African traditional religions are becoming a trend. And a lot of it has to do with just it entering into the mainstream, people being more vocal, the popularity or the influence of social media, you know, so it's just really there on Front Street. A lot of us are waking up as far as those, you know, African-Americans or are coming out of our traditional Christian backgrounds and searching for practices that are more closely related to what our ancestors did, and just an overall desire for Africans, Americans wanting to practice the traditions of our ancestors. Okay. So ATRs are becoming a trend, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, sometimes things being a trend is a good thing, and then sometimes it could be a bad thing. And so what I'm noticing with ATRs is people running towards priesthood. And when I say priesthood, what I mean is people running to get initiated as priests and priestesses in their various African traditional religions, right? So, you know, people running to be priests in Orisha, people running to be Mambos, Ngans, and in Haitian Voodoo, people wanting to become priests in Ifa, like just whatever, you know, whatever the tradition is, people are running to be initiated as a priest. And it's just concerning for me because people have this warped idea of what priesthood is or what it's about. And more importantly, a lot of people who are running towards priesthood have their own hidden agendas behind it that are not 100% sincere or not 100% with integrity. Meaning that, well, basically what I'll say is this, is that, you know, people are seeking priesthood titles to satisfy their own hubris, to satisfy their own ego, to satisfy their own sense of entitlement, to satisfy their own inner insecurities, the need to feel better, be better than, just all these like shit that really should be worked out in therapy, right? And that's a whole other conversation. I really feel like people need to go to therapy before they even start practicing these traditions. let alone being initiated as a priest or priestess. But I already talked about that in my other podcast about spirituality and mental illness, or, you know, psychotic shit. So if you have questions or you want to know more about that, refer to that podcast episode. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people are running towards priesthood that don't flat out need to be priests, to be honest. And the way that you can tell is that you could see it in their actions and their character. You know, you know immediately when someone is not meant to have a position of authority. And a lot of people who are given these positions of authority within the realm of priesthood and priestesshood just don't fucking need it at all. It makes them way worse than what they were before they had their ritual. So here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, on one hand, a bunch of people who are marked for priesthood. The reason why is because many of us are picking up family traditions and family obligations and family titles that have been lost. You know, when you think about it, you know, as many of us who were brought over from the into the diaspora, you know, a lot of our ancestors came from lineages of priests and priestesses, you know, royals, kings, queens, etc. You know, and then once your ancestors were brought over, you know, they were able to maintain those traditions as much as possible, pass them down. But, you know, there's a lot of that passing down that got disrupted. You know, a lot of lineages that were stopped, or a lot of traditions that just kind of ended with a certain ancestor and that were, whatever reasons, weren't passed on. Or for various reasons weren't passed on. But at the end of the day, when you have an ancestral obligation to a group of spirits, or a spirit, you know, if your family has a patron spirit that they've served, or they have a contract to serve, and at some point that contract was forgotten, that spirit doesn't forget. Those deities, those spirits don't forget. And so down the line, what ends up happening is that, you know, somewhere, some descendant at some point will be awakened to the expectations of that contract. And so a lot of us now are experiencing that, because a lot of us now are open to alternative ways of worship. So basically what I'm saying, a lot of us are coming out of the Christian backgrounds, and we're even making ourselves open to enough for these ancestral deities to come to us and remind us of these ancestral contracts that we have with them. So it may seem like everybody and their mama is being initiated as a priest or priestess. It's only because we're playing catch up at this point. You know, many of us have family obligations to serve our family spirits. So that's what you see on one hand. But on the other hand, as many people as you see being marked for priesthood, there's way more people that are not marked for priesthood. And you have to remember, or for those of you who don't know, rather I'll say, because a lot of you listening aren't practitioners of ATRs. There's stages to priesthood or initiation. So, you know, you can go up to a certain point and then that's it. You know, you can go up to a certain point without even reaching the level of priesthood. But you can have multiple ceremonies, multiple different types of initiation. But, you know, a lot of people are even meant for that, but not necessarily actually becoming a priest or priesthood in these traditions. So it may seem there's a lot, but when you think in the context of religions and hierarchy and clergy, there's a lot of pastors, there's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of bishops and deacons and the different priests, rabbis, and just, you know, there's a lot of them. So it would make sense that there are also a lot of the priests and priestesses within the ATRs, because they technically are religions. But at the same time, just because there's a lot of rabbis doesn't mean everybody's meant to be a rabbi. Just because there's a lot of, you know, deacons of the church doesn't mean that everybody's meant to be a deacon of the church. It's the same way. And what I want people to really understand is that you have to approach these religions as religions. You know, yes, they're very holistic. African religious philosophy is very holistic, very all-encompassing. There's no separations between things, but at the end of the day, it's still a religion, and it operates the same way. So you wouldn't approach a pastor and just be like, oh, because he's a pastor and then his son is studying and, you know, other people are studying, I just want to be a pastor. That may or may not be your calling. And that's the same way. So my whole thing is, I really want people to kind of understand and really stay away from the mindset that African traditional religions are just these mystic, esoteric practices. These are actually legitimate hierarchical religions with clergy and religious orders. So, in other words, it's not a free-for-all. As much as people want to pretend like it is, or appropriate like it is, or claim it otherwise, it is not a free-for-all. It's not for everybody to, you know, be a priest or priestess. It's not even meant for everybody to even be a part of some of these traditions, regardless if they're mainstream or not, because it really boils down to lineage. But that's a whole other unpopular opinion that I probably do. But I just kind of want to put everything into context before I kind of go into just my observations about how people treat priesthood, the idea of priesthood, or how people approach it within the context of African traditional religions. You know, so there, because people think that it's for everybody and people glamorize it, they don't really treat it as serious as it should be treated. And then they go into it with this whole other mindset that is not honoring of this, you know, practice or this religion. But I want to kind of break some things down. So what I want to do is, you know, I'm all for language, right? And definitions and having a clear understanding of what the fuck it is that we're talking about. So, I, you know, I'm going to break down what the Webster's Dictionary definition of a priest is, okay? So according to Webster's, a priest is an ordained minister having the authority to perform certain rites and administer certain sacraments. Okay, so I'm going to repeat that. A priest is an ordained minister having the authority to perform certain rites and administer certain sacraments. So this is the reason why I say that everybody's not meant to be a priest or priestess in the context of ATRs, because not everybody has the license or the authority or is meant to administer rites and sacraments on behalf of the community and the spirits from which the community is serving. Okay? This is what you're doing when you become a priest. You are administering rites and sacraments. Okay, deeper than that, when you bring it into the realm of African traditional religions, at the end of the day, a priest or a priestess is a mediator between the community and the spirits in which the community serves. Okay, you're the middle person. You're the one that speaks for the spirits when there's messages, you know, and then you're the one that speaks on behalf of the community when the community is wanting to commune with these spirits, all right? And again, everybody's not meant to have that position. But because of the way that a lot of people approach African traditional religions, there's, again, this glamorization of being a priest or priestess, right? So everybody thinks that it is just, you know, having a title and showing everybody your pretty altars and, you know, dressing up in the colors and, you know, whatever. But it's like, it's not at all what it really is, you know. So, you know, I'm just going to list a few things that I observe people when they go into this, what they think it is. You know, they think that being a priest is a position of authority, right? So you get to come in and you I'm a priest and I'm an elder and such and such. And, you know, to a certain extent, yes. you know, but at the same time, remember, ATRs are hierarchical. You know, so, you know, there's very much about basically, you know, as much of a sense of authority you think you have, you're going to always have elders and people who are above you and people that you answer to. Right. So people think it's clout. People think it's station. You know, I'm Yayi such and such. I'm Hungan so and so. I'm, and then they want to, especially when they have their head spirits behind them, they're like, oh, I'm Oshun this. Oh, I'm Shango that. And it's just like, okay, you know. Now, mind you, when you are initiated into the priesthood, it does elevate your station, technically, you know. But when you, a lot of people don't understand, too, that, you know, again, a lot of us are picking up traditions and titles and things that were already a part of our bloodline that have been, like, forgotten or lost down the road. So in the context of traditional, you know, religions, African traditional religions, a lot of people who were priests and priestesses were already upper class, royalty, etc. You know, so in that context, yes, it is an elevation, you know, or a positioning of your station. But in regards to modern times, we're just picking up where we left off. So what I'm really trying to say is that you're not really grabbing onto anything special. You're just reestablishing something that's already in your bloodline, but it doesn't make you any better than what you were, if that makes sense. A lot of people feel like priesthood is power. Like, you know, you get initiated and you have access to all these powers and things and, you know, these gifts. And I'm gonna be real with you. There is a separation between magical technology and religion, meaning that at the core, African traditional religions are about the devotion and the worship and the reverence of these whatever particular deities of that religion. That is separate from actual magical practices, which are their own system. You know what I'm saying? So if you weren't already gifted and if you didn't already have power or whatever before you got made a priest, being a priest ain't gonna give you some special powers. You know what I'm saying? It's not gonna make you some priest superhero. But a lot of people go into it thinking that, okay, you know, now that I'm initiated as a priestess of Oshun, now I got all these magical powers. And it's just like, nah, not really. Not at all, actually. You know, you should have already had, you know, if you're looking to work magic, then you should already be learning magical systems of your ancestors before you incorporate that or go into the priesthood. And really, technically, you're supposed to keep those separate. You know, I don't go to my Orishas with hoodoo shit. If I'm doing hoodoo, I'm doing hoodoo and it's separate. If I need to talk to my Orishas and have them work something out for me, that's separate. You know, my Orishas perform miracles. I perform hoodoo. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the separation, right? A lot of people feel like, you know, it's just this access to just all this vast knowledge. And let me tell you, the more you practice these ATRs, the more you learn and realize that you don't know shit. You know, sometimes it can be so overwhelming, all the things that you have to learn and consistently learn. You know what I'm saying? But people think that when they get initiated as a priest, they automatically know everything. It's like, no, that's actually truly the start of your study. And really, these practices are a lifelong study. Like, you don't ever stop learning within these religions, you know, but it definitely does not make you the know-all. And people just think that, you know, priesthood is about being served by others. And it's like, no, it's not that at all either. It's not like that at all, as a matter of fact. You know, it's not just you on your pedestal while everybody comes to you and caters to you. That's definitely not what I've observed of priesthood within the ATRs. So let me tell you what I have observed. You know, I have my own elders who I am blessed to be very close to. and who I not only observe just through just, you know, watching, but I talk to them a lot too, and I ask them a lot of questions about their own experiences as elders. You know, I also have, you know, friends that are priests as well, you know, so I'm able to see it from like their, how it affects their personal life and, you know, their relationships and things like that. And so, you know, what priesthood is it's a lot of hard work. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, for example, like I've seen my own Padrino, he works full time. Every priest that I know has a full-time job. So that's another thing people think it is. They think that it's also like getting rich, living off of being a priest and doing spiritual work. And it's just like, no, every priest that I know, they have a job. So, you know, they balance their work life with their personal life and their spiritual life. You know, so it's a lot of hard work. I've watched my own Padrino like work all week and then fly out to here to Atlanta, like perform ceremonies all weekend and then turn around and fly back home on a Sunday. You know what I mean? Like he'll work all day, all week, fly out Friday, get in early Saturday at like 5 a.m., turn around. We do ceremonies all day Saturday, most of the day Sunday, and then he packs up and he leaves Sunday night to go back to Vegas to turn around and work on Monday. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my friend, you know, she's also a priestess, and she's a priestess in a few traditions. She has a huge spiritual house where she's doing ceremonies for a few different traditions, and, you know, but she works as well. You know what I'm saying? And then that's just outside of having any type of family time or time for, you know, relationships, like intimate relationships and things like that. So it's a lot of hard work. You know, people are always calling on you in need, you know. And so, you know, you were, as a priest, you're always having to show up and accommodate the need of the community, the needs of the community. It's a lot of fucking sacrifice. You know, I've watched, you know, several priests and priestesses sacrificing, you know, time, sacrificing their own personal desire, sacrificing, you know, sometimes relationships with people and, you know, things like that. You know, and so a lot of the times, and then too, when you are a priest, you are answering to spirits, and spirits have their own demands of you. So they require you to make certain sacrifices that are never easy, you know, as a priest. And you're held to a higher standard because you're a priest, you know. It's a lot of responsibility, a lot of fucking responsibility. You know, because as a priest, you're responsible for yourself. You're responsible for how you serve your spirits. You're responsible for your community. You're responsible for holding ceremonies. And you're responsible for offering spiritual advice, readings. If you've got an Elay or a spiritual house with God children, then you're responsible for the spiritual development of not only just yourself, but also your God children. I've seen priests having to deal with difficult, you know, godchildren, scandals, you know, having to mediate certain things and having to make tough decisions in regards to the, you know, what's best for them in their spiritual house. It's a lot. It is a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of balancing. Like I was saying, you know, a lot of having to make sure that you honor both your own personal time and your own house, your own health, your own emotional well-being, and as well as balancing being a priest, you know, in a position of spiritual, having to provide spiritual guidance for a large group of people. It is a ton of accountability. A ton of accountability, because at that point you are part of a clergy and you are part of a religious order. So not only do you have your own spirits that you're answering to, but then you got elders, people, you know, godparents that have vouched for you, that have initiated your ceremonies and you know, other people, elders that are have been in before you, and you know, you're definitely accountable to your ancestors. And you know, I just see a lot of people who become priests and they operate with such distasteful character, forgetting that when you initiate as a priest, like, you are held to the highest standard of accountability. You don't get no passes, no slides, and no, you know, not even an inch of excuses. You don't get any of that as a priest. It's a lot of study. Like I said, you know, people come in, they think that now all of a sudden because they're a priest that they know it all. But it's like, no, it's a ton of study. Songs, prayers, how to do rituals, how to serve the certain spirits, how to do the divinations, how to, you know, it's a lot. And that's just with one tradition. That doesn't even include if people are initiated into multiple, you know, traditions, if they're priests of multiple. So I know a few people who are priests of multiple traditions. It's it's a lot of money, because for real talk, priests and like initiations to priesthood are not cheap. You know, they run at least $6,000-$7,000 on the low end. You know, I've seen averages of $8,000-$10,000 to get initiated. I've seen people talk about $30,000 to get initiated. Now I think the 30, you know, I think anything more than 15 may be excessive, but I'm not, you know, a part of whatever traditions that they were initiated to. So I don't know what types of resources and things go into those initiations. So it might have really cost $30,000 to get initiated, but it's money. You know, I can't even begin to tell you how much money I've dropped with the ceremonies that I've had. And those are just ceremonies. That's not even an initiation to a priesthood. And I've dropped several thousand dollars. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of money and resources. So yes, you do have to have a certain level of abundance and wealth and privilege in order to even initiate as a priest or priestess, you know, into an ATR. But the biggest thing is that it's service to others. You know, like I said, a lot of people think that once they get initiated, they're up on this pedestal and people are serving them. It's like, no, you are serving others. You are a servant of the spirits and you are a servant of your community, you know, and I've seen it. You know, I've worked ceremonies and I've personally seen and experienced what it means to be a service as an aberisha, not even as a full priestess. You know what I'm saying? But it is a lot of service to others, a lot of self-sacrificing. You definitely don't get rich by it. You know, like I've stated in a few other podcast episodes, a lot of these times with these ceremonies, you pay your money, or the priest receives the money, they don't really make anything off of it. You know, a lot of times, like, real priests and priestesses, the money is going to the actual ceremony. They'll either break even. Most priests go in the hole because they're having to supplement, you know, what costs weren't covered or what portion of the initiation wasn't covered. So a lot of priests and priestesses go in the hole, you know, in order to do their ceremonies for others. But if they do clear a profit, it may be like a couple hundred dollars off of several thousand. So it is a lot of being of service to others, a lot of being of service to the community. So those are just things I want you all who's listening to think about in regards to priesthood within the ATRs. Y'all, it's okay to be regular. It is completely okay to just be normal, to be your regular self. It's okay to not have a title. It's okay. You know, like, it's okay. It is so okay. Like, just the fact that you're on this journey and you are wanting to tap into your ancestors and practice what they practice, that you want to reconnect with the spirits and the gods and goddesses of our ancestors. You know, the fact that you are on this path of breaking generational curses and just really remembering who you are, like, that is more than enough. That's enough responsibility as it is. You know, that is definitely more than enough responsibility as it is, without having to add on just, you know, the whole burden of being a priest or getting into the priesthood. So you guys, it's okay. It is so okay. It's not, priesthood isn't for everybody. And you don't need a title to be important within, the system of ATR, because really, it's a community-based practice. These practices are community-based, meaning that everybody has a role and everybody's important. Everybody may not be a priest or priestess, but everybody's role is important. And I've seen it over and over again and consistently in every ceremony that I've been a part of and every ceremony that I've received, that nothing could get done without everybody being present and showing up, whether or not that person's a priest or not. And to be honest with you, most of the heavy lifting and most of the important aspects of any ceremony come from those that are not a part of the clergy. Like the clergy, they just perform the rites and they do the sacraments, but they sing the songs, they do the prescriptions and things like that. But it's the community, the rest of the community that gets together that, brings the resources and prepares everything and cleans everything and creates the space and coordinates and organizes and cooks and makes sure everybody has what they need. Like, that's the real powerhouse and the real battery behind, or the fuel, I'll say, behind these religious houses, these spiritual houses. It's just the community. So if you are a part of the community, then you matter and you're important regardless if you have a title or not. So yeah, that is all I guess I want to say in this episode of Unpopular Opinion. So thanks for listening to my rant as always. If you guys want to reach me, I am available on my website, bethevibe.com. You can also hit me up through email at therapeuticvibrations@gmail.com. I'm back to regularly responding to my emails now that Simbi's Conjure is open. So for those of you who've emailed me, like, I'm catching up. And then those of you who, are in the future emailing me, I'll be able to respond in a more timely manner. But definitely appreciate you all for your support and your listening. I'm almost coming up with a 1 year anniversary of Be the Vibe Radio, so I'm super excited. I think I'm gonna do like a anniversary episode or something. But yeah, again, thank you for your support. Thank you for listening, and I definitely hope that you took away some things from this episode of Unpopular Opinion. So, that's it. Peace and blessings.